Hey everybody, Justin Thomas here. We are doing a soccer preview for both the girls and boys OHSAA state tournament. The Southwest districts is what we're going to be looking at, Southwest Regional should say, and that's what we're going to cover for this one here today. So hopefully you are tuning in. And just a little point note, we will have some folks all going out across throughout the Southwest Regional and covering some games. I'm going to be trying to figure out if I can do either audio for the sectional and district tournaments, which that's free provided from the OHSAA, and then try to just do the normal, get some video updates here and there throughout the game to be able to tweet out. That's what I'm going to try to do throughout the soccer tournament here, try and get some coverage to different folks. And then I'll also have some other guys joining me. They'll be all spread out a couple of different games and trying to keep me up to date with everything going on and try and post a scoreboard for you all as well. So that's what we're looking at doing. So let's get into our previews now. All right, so let's first start with the girls division one. So I'm going to go through the top 10 seeds real quick and just talk a little bit about each one. Milford was the one seed. I think that's rightfully so. The Eagles under head coach Jill Helms have been fantastic all season. They are the ECC champs, winning it for a third straight year here. They also as well went with the whole season undefeated, 12-0-4 mark. And folks like Anna Manning and Marley Scanlon can just find goals when they need to score goals, and they can also just go off at any given time and score some goals. So I think Milford is a deserving team of that number one overall seed. Number two seed is Coach Kevin Sprawl and the Oak Hills Highlanders. I think that's a good mark for them as well. They've handled business in other games throughout the entire season. Fell a little short against the Eagles, so I think that's probably why it goes with the 1-2 seeding there. But overall, for the Highlanders, I mean, with them, they've had a really good defensive set, just refusing to let goals in. And then Presley Pennekamp does what she does best, and that's score goals on the other side. But they've been known to get a goal here or there from a couple other players when they need one. But I think, obviously, Presley Pennekamp, same mark with, you know, Anna Manning and some of these other players are just – they just find a way. You know what I mean? They just find a way and score goals when they need to. Seton, the defending state champs, they're the three seed. Saints are going to be awesome again this postseason. They just obviously had the will of the way last year, had some really great playmakers. Some of them ended up graduating, but a lot of them are also still right here. So I think that's going to be really good. A core good team that has been in that situation, made that turnaround and lifted the hardware. So they know what they need to do again to get the job done. So I think Coach Volker's crew are going to be good. So I think that was deserving for the top three seeds here in the girls side of things. Four and five. And really it starts to get very compact here, but four seed is the Mason Comets. Hey coach, Sammy Rutowski came over from Wyoming. She is a Mason alum, and she's got the Comets continuing on with that excellence that Coach Sure had them with. So they're right up there, obviously finishing up as runners-up in the GMC. They're going to be able to make another deep tournament run, I think, as well, because Coach Rutowski took the Wyoming girls team to a state championship where they just fell on penalties. So I think that she knows the mindset as well to make that deep type of tournament run. Fifth is Mount Notre Dame, another team that's also won a state championship in the last couple of years. So I think that M&D is also with Coach KJ going to be able to make these are the top five. They're going to be really difficult teams to play and are going to be able to, I think, do some damage in the tournament as well. But then you get a whole crew of teams here, and it's primarily ECC teams, because the ECC, despite Milford winning it outright, there's a lot of competition all kind of jockeying around there and giving Milford their best shot. Eagles just kept finding a way to get the job done. But sixth seed is Anderson, who actually did tie Milford, although they had the lead lay before Milford was able to get the point in that one. Then Loveland, head coach Todd Kelly, obviously has won a state championship. It's been a few years now, but started that mark to get these Southwest Ohio teams to win the state championship. Eight is Turpin, and nine is West Claremont. So right there, you can see we got four straight ECC teams that are all kind of compact up there. And then the 10th seed is head coach Bridger Reeder and her Lakota West Firebirds, another coach that has won a state championship. So I think it's five of the last 6 years have seen a Southwest Ohio regional champ go on to win the state championship as well. So that mark is going to continue to hopefully lean into this season as well with this excellence that this regional has had in girls soccer. So that's your top 10 to round things off, and a very good collection of teams to set that mark. All right, so let's get into the brackets now. South 1 for Division 1. This is Division 1 girls soccer here. South 1 sees 19-seeded Ursuline versus 25-seeded Princeton. I think two teams have kind of struggled throughout the season, but I think the Lions will get a job done. But then that results into a matchup against number 1 Milford, which obviously the Eagles are, I think, would be poised to win that. Then the other side is a really intriguing matchup for South 1. That's 13-seeded Harrison versus 14-seeded Fairfield. The Indians can score goals under Coach Thomas, but it's been a trouble too in the allowing of goals. Their games are always like 4-2, 3-2, just things like that. You know, they win some of those or they fall just short, but I think that's going to be interesting because that is a very good Harrison side that Coach Bill has as well, because I've seen them play against Talawanda. Obviously, there's a little bit of a difference there in kind of skill level because Harrison just handled business, but the SWAC champions can play. In fact, they just beat Oak Hills earlier in the week, 4-3. So this is a team that can actually, I think, can maybe make a threat because they can score goals and be really good in that. So I'm interested to see how that one goes. That might be, I'm not saying it for sure because I'm still trying to figure out the schedule and everything, but that might be the one I actually go and cover on Monday night. So we'll see how that all transpires, but then it's going to be a good matchup because whoever wins that will take on the non-numbers 9 seed in West Claremont and the Wolves, and then overall those teams are all going to meet and someone from that is going to win the South 1 sectional there and then play the North 3, and we'll get to the North side of things here in a little bit. But South 2, first matchup, we'll see number 2 Oak Hills take on number 27 seed Edgewood. I think the Highlanders have this one in the bag under control. And then they'll take on 28 seeded Middletown, which I think that the Highlanders will go through as that as well. Other side of things, Coleraine and St. Ursula. Coleraine is a 22 seed. St. Ursula is the 12 seed. The Bulldogs, I think, are better than what the record indicates because of how good the GGCL is. Seton, defending state champs, won the league, only one loss, and that came in against Mount Notre Dame, who's also right there in the mix and being good. And then Mercy McCauley is also having a really good season as well. The Wolves are actually in Division 2, so we'll get to them in a moment. But I think St. Ursula, like I said, I think the Bulldogs are better than what the record indicates. I think they'll win that one and then get a matchup with number 7 seed Loveland, which that also I think is going to be a really good matchup in that one there. And then those all winners will come up and play each other for trying to win the South 2, who will play the South 3 winner, which let's go ahead and get in the South 3 here. That's going to see number 16 Lakota East and number 17 Lebanon play each other. Another super interesting matchup here. Another one that I might cover, but I have another guy that's also Dimitri Fizik, who also does coverage for me, is another person. So I'm trying to rearrange, kind of figure out where we can all go. But I think that that's going to be a really great matchup. And then the winner gets the 4 seed Mason. So that's interesting because Lakota East and Mason, obviously two teams that know each other very well. But if I remember correctly, I think that was a 0-0 draw. In the regular season, so that could be an interesting first-round matchup for Mason to have to deal with. Other side of things seems number 15 seed Sycamore taking on number 21 seed Little Miami. Winner will get Mount Notre Dame. So I think that this is probably the most interesting kind of sectional, if you will, just because of Mason, Mount Notre Dame, Lakota East, Lebanon, and then Sycamore actually did beat Lakota East earlier in the season, but then fell to Mason 1-0. So, you know, Sycamore's kind of a team that can also a little bit be in the mix. Like I said, they play South 2 winner. The South 4, we'll see the number 3 seed Seton take on the 26 seed Talawanda. More than likely, Saints are going to get the job done there and then play number 29 seed Wynton Woods. Other side of that sectional sees number 11 Kings versus number 18 Ross. That might be an interesting one. Ross actually did win in their first year in the Southwestern Buckeye League. They won their division. So a good transfer over there for the Rams. But now they're going to try and take on a Kings team that's very feisty and just gets results as well. Winner of that gets the number 8 seed in Turpin. They'll play then the winner of the other side, and then that goes on to play the North 2 winner. South 5, who eventually will play North 1, but South 5 sees just one little rat tail in the bracket here, and that's number 10 Lakota West versus number 24 Hamilton. So a GMC matchup to start things off. And then following that, winner will get Walnut Hills, who's the 20 seed. Other side looks at the number 6 seed Anderson and number 23 seed Western Brown. And then, like I said, winners will face each other and then get to the North 1. So speaking of the North 1, that looks like this. Centerville, once again, winning the GWAC. The Elks will be the number 1 overall seed in the North part of our regional here. They'll get the winner of 13 Wayne and 14 Piqua. Other side sees 5 Troy versus 20 Belmont and 9 Fairmont versus number 15 Stebbins. To be honest with you, I think that's going to be Centerville all the way. And like I said, they'll play the South 5. North sees number 2 seed Springboro, who had another quality season as well. Just came up a little short against Centerville to finish second in the GWAC. They're going to get the winner of number 11 Xenia and 16 West Carrollton. Other side sees 10 Northmont versus 12 Fairborn, 17 Stivers versus number 8 Miamisburg. So I think that more than likely will probably be Springboro that comes through that. They'll play South 4. And then North 3 sees number 6 Beaver Creek taking on number 19 Pines, and then the winner of that gets Butler, who is the 3 seed. Other side sees number 7 Chaminade Julienne versus number 18 Springfield. Winner gets number 4 Sydney. So in terms of how the North all shakes out, I think the most interesting one is going to be North 3, just because you have number 3 Butler, number 4 Sydney, and then number 6 Beaver Creek, who has made some good runs in the past there. They get the winner of South 1. Division 2, going through this one here, if you look at our south parts of the bracket, we got South 1, and that sees Roger Bacon as a 2 seed, taking on 11 seed Goshen. Winner of that gets number 9 Redding. Then Batavia, who's a 5 seed, taking on number 6 Wyoming. And then number 10 CHCA taking on number 3 Mercy McCauley. I think this is a really interesting bracket because Mercy McCauley's had a really good season, and I think they can do some damage here, but they also are going to have some tough matchups because I think Batavia is a very solid team. Wyoming is always just going to be a team that's going to be in the mix because they play in a tough CHL. And then overall, Roger Bacon being the 2 seed. That could be a very interesting sectional championship to figure out who plays Central 1. Then South 2, you see number 1 Summit Country Day, and they take on number 13 Northwest. They'll get the winner of, assuming Summit Country Day probably wins that one, they'll take on number 12 New Richmond. Other side sees number 4 Archbishop McNicholas taking on number 7 Taylor, and then winner gets number 8 Indian Hill. Winner of that will go on to play North 2. So if you want to look at the central area now, we got the number 3 seed Baden waiting the winner of number 6 Oakwood, number 4 Alter. So a potential Baden Alter or Baden Oakwood matchup could be interesting. Other side see number 5 Monroe versus 12 Carlisle, number 2 Bellbrook versus number 13 Wilmington. Monroe and Bellbrook and Baden are all really, really solid teams. It would be interesting if it's a Baden versus a Monroe for another year in a row, or if it's going to be maybe Baden versus Bellbrook. Should be interesting whenever that gets South 1. The Central 2 sees number 1 Waynesville, who was the state champions 2 years ago and then state runner-up last year. So the Lady Spartans are looking to try and go another run again. They'll get the winner of 10 Valley View and 11 Clinton Massey. Other side sees 7 Bishop Fenwick versus 8 Eden. Whenever that gets number 9 Franklin. So obviously a lot of people try to stay away from the team that's been to the state championship in Division 2 the past 2 years and won the title in one of those. So whenever all that gets North 1, North 1 looks like this. Tippecanoe versus Trotwood Madison. Tippecanoe, by the way, the number 1 seed. More likely they'll win that one and get a matchup with number 10 Graham. Other side sees number 6 Ken Ridge versus number 7 Benjamin Logan. And the winner of that gets number 3 Northwestern. I'm probably thinking Tippecanoe is going to go all the way. They'll play the winner of Central 2. Other side, the North 2 sees Carroll as the 2 seed. They'll get Indian Lake, who's a 9 seed. More than likely, will probably win that. If they handle their business, get number 11, Greenville. Other side sees 5, Tecumseh versus 8, Bell Fountain. And the winner gets number 4, Urbana. And then they'll get the South 2 side of things. Division 3 now looks like this. Number 4, Greenville. This is South 1, by the way. Number 4, Greenville versus 20, Blanchester. Winner gets number 7, Seven Hills. And then, that's funny, the seating worked on that one. But number 11, Norwood versus number 21, St. Bernard. Winner gets number 5, Claremont Northeastern. South 2 sees number 15, Clark Montessori versus number 10, Cincinnati Christian. Winner gets the number 1 seed, and that's Cincinnati Country Day, who has won the state championship the last year and seems to be a team that usually represents Southwestern Ohio up there. So looking to make another run there are the Cincinnati Country Day Nighthawks. And then you have the number 10 Williamsburg versus number 9 Fayetteville Perry on the other side. South 3 looks like this. 12 Georgetown, number 16 Rippling. Winner gets number 3 Marymount. And the other side sees 6 Bethel Tate versus 17 Deer Park. South 4 has 14 Finneytown versus number 13 Felicity Franklin. Number 2 Madeira will get the winner of those two. And then number 8 Madison versus number 19 Purcell Marion. And there's further north teams that I won't really necessarily go into, but I'll kind of talk about the higher seed. Number 4 Anna for North 1. Number 1 West Liberty Salem for North 2. North 3 sees number 3 Layman Catholic, and the North 4 sees number 2 Legacy Christian. So that's how the girls' side of things shakes out for Division 1, 2, and 3. And I think it should be a really quality tournament. As always, make sure you are following me on Twitter to figure out where I'm going to be for a certain night and covering some games moving forward in coverage of tournament. All right, so now let's shift over to the boys' side of things. The number one overall seed for Division One in the Southwest Regional is going to be the Moeller Crusaders. Moeller, the representative from Southwest Ohio last year to reach the state semifinals, just fell short in overtime against New Albany, who ended up losing to the state champion in the next game, St. Ignatius. Crusaders this year, 14-0-0, an impressive mark, well-deserved of that number one seed. Number two seed is the St. Xavier Bombers, who had been that team kind of in the past that had usually taken control of the GCL South, but Moeller grabbed it this year. Bombers right there is a two seed. Lakota West winning the GMC for the first time since 2011. Firebirds are the number three seed and poised to try and do some damage here in the tournament. Number four seed is the Elder Panthers, having a breakout year. They've always kind of been a solid team, but this year taking it to the next level. Be interested to see how they can do here in the tournament. Five seed is Turpin. The Spartans fell just outside of winning the ECC. They're right there in the mix, but a draw against Kings right at the end resulted in them just missing out on a co-share for the ECC. So we'll see how they respond here for the tournament. Number six seed, Mason Comets, a team that is very good defensively. Just have been kind of trying to still find a way to score, but they got some good players coming back into the mix. Kellen Wren, who is really, really good for them, kind of coming back off injury. So we'll see. The Comets can also make a tournament run as well. Seventh seed is the Walnut Hills Eagles, who were a co-champion for the ECC with the number eight team, and that's the Anderson Raptors. So those two share the ECC. Both are looking to try and do some damage in the tournament. And then number nine, Lakota East, who came into the final GMC match day with a shot to still win their first GMC title since 1999. In the end, they got the win they needed, but Lakota West also handled their business. So Lakota East finishing second in the GMC, but they were a team that made a state semifinal appearance a couple years ago. So Coach Highland and the Thunderhawks are going to see what they can do. And then the 10th seed will be the Milford Eagles, who also made a really good run a couple years ago, made it to the regional championship. Although the way that was shifted, somehow there's a fifth regional, and that was put up into Northwest Ohio, but the Eagles still got to that point there. Do want to give a shout out to the 11th seed, who is the Harrison Wildcats, who did finish the season also undefeated, 16-0-0. So actually, I should say Moeller 14-0-0. Obviously, when it was loaded into the brackets, I believe they polished off perfect season as well. All right, so let's get into the boys brackets here, and we'll start with Division One South. Number one seed Moeller will take on number 32 Western Brown. More than likely Crusaders are going to win that and then play the 33rd seed in Aiken. I would think Crusaders are going to handle those two and get themselves into a matchup against the winner of this other side, which starts off with 13 Fairfield versus 20 Ross. Fairfield kind of having a pendulum season where they win a big game but then just got edged out in an absolute thriller. We'll see how they translate over into this matchup against Ross, who has kind of been bumped up into the D1 range the last couple years here and just finished off their first season in the SWBL, the Southwestern Buckeye League. Whenever that will get the number 19 seed, Little Miami, And then more likely, whoever wins that mix will play Moeller in the sectional championship, which we'll then see for a district championship, the winner of North 3. Now, South 2 looks like this. You have the third seed, Lakota West, awaiting the winner of 21 Northwest and 25 West Claremont. Other side sees 11 Harrison versus 18 Oak Hills. That should be a really good matchup that's going to happen out there, Harrison. Like I said, Wildcats undefeated, 16-0. Oak Hills managed to get some results throughout the GMC. These two met earlier in the season with the Wildcats winning 3-1. We'll see how it goes for the rematch here. But then the winner taking on 8-seeded Anderson, that's going to be a tough matchup because the Raptors are a very good coach team and a team that also knows how to make a deep tourney run from a couple years ago. So I think the Raptors will be difficult. Potential there for Lakota West Anderson matchup, and I think that could be a very good battle. So we'll see if that does end up happening. If it does, the winner of that will go and take on the North 1 winner for a district championship. South 3 sees number 2 St. X await the winner of 23 Middletown and 24 Withrow. Other side gets a little interesting here as you have an all GMC style matchup down here. 9 Lakota East versus 22 Coleraine. Other side is 28 Hamilton versus 15 Sycamore. Should be interesting how that plays out. However that all comes through, they'll play the winner of South 4. And South 4 looks like this. You have 5 Turpin taking on 31 Winton Woods. And then the winner gets 30 Goshen. You would think that would probably be the Spartans. Other side sees 14 Princeton, who had a bit of a resurgence season this year, taking on 17 LaSalle. Other side sees 27 Western Hills versus 7 Walnut Hills. I'm intrigued to see if it's going to be a Turpin-Walnut Hills all ECC matchup, because initially about midway through the season, it happened and it was rescheduled and then kind of came out late season, you thought this might actually be who was going to determine the ECC. And I think it was Turpin that actually got the result there, but then it turned out Walnut Hills would share with Anderson. Anderson being Turpin's big rival and that one. So we'll see if Turpin Walnut Hills happens again. Winner would play South 3. The South 5 looks like this. It's going to be 4 Elder waiting the winner of 29 Talawanda and 12 Kings. Other side sees 6 Mason versus 26 Edgewood. And then 10 Milford versus 16 Loveland. That should be fun because they just played each other in the final ECC matchup and Milford won that one 1-0. Now they're going to have to play again on Tuesday. So we'll see how it all shakes out on that to figure out who's going to go through and play North 2. So here's how the North looks for Division 1. The number one seed is Springboro, the Panthers, edging out Centerville to win the GWOC this year. So congrats to the Panthers. Obviously a team that had a really, really good run last year and actually made it to the regional championship, won a penalty shootout against Mason in the regional semifinals, and then fell short to Moeller 3-1 in the regional championship. But the Panthers, the one seed, they'll play 17 Sydney, more likely will win that one and go against 19 Fairborn. Other side sees 8 Lebanon versus 10 Wayne, 5 Fairmont versus 12 Tecumseh. Like I said, winner that will get South 2. North 2 sees number 2 seed Centerville, a team that pushed St. Ignatius to the limits a couple of years ago in a overtime loss in the state championship. So Coach Monbeck knows how to get those Elks rally to go. Last year, they came up just short of penalty shootout in the regional semifinals against Mulder, who ended up being the team that represented Southwest Ohio in the state semis. So the Elks get 16 Xenia, then more likely get past the Bucks to go to 20 against 20 West Carrollton. And then other side is 7 Troy versus 14 Belmont, 6 Butler versus 13 Stebbins. And then winner of all that gets South 5. North 3 looks like this. Number 3, Beaver Creek, taking on 15 Piqua. Winner gets 18 Springfield. Other side of that is number 4, Northmont versus 11 Miamisburg. Winner will take on number 9, Monroe. The winner of all that gets South 1. So a lot of really good teams in the mix here. I personally think the North will go as it usually does. It seems like it's usually the top 3 seeds that always get to the district championships. I think it's going to be that way as well. Springboro is having a really, really good season. I think last year was a solid season, and they actually kind of went above expectations with the upset win over Mason, the regional semifinals. Obviously, they won the districts, and to get to that point, won in the penalty shootout, and then just fell short to Moeller. I think the Panthers are a little bit higher of a level now. Obviously, they won the GWOC. and should be interesting here. So I think Panthers are going to win their sectional. I think Centerville is going to win their sectional. And I think Beaver Creek might edge out Northmont to win the North 3. So I think those three are going to represent. But a lot of good teams in the mix for Division I on the boys' side of things. I mean, obviously, I think Moeller is for sure going to get to a district championship. And Moeller is obviously on an impressive run of a season that they look like they are a team that can make a deep tournament run and potentially be the first Southwest Ohio team since Centerville a couple years ago to get to that that state championship. Obviously, last year they got to the state semifinals and just fell short in overtime. I think they have a shot going into the state tournament here to try and make another run towards the state title game and see what happens. I also think that Lakota West does have a lot of material. They can score goals. They've been really solid defensively, and they just keep finding results when they need results. I think that the Firebirds are going to have that extra little oomph that they got from winning the GMC and take this into a tournament run as well. But you can't overlook who might be on the rise, and which could be 8 Anderson, because the Raptors are going to be a very difficult team. The Firebirds played them earlier in the season too, so it's going to be a really interesting matchup here to see how this all shakes out. St. X, obviously a good team, didn't quite get the job done against Moeller for the GCL South, but the way their sectional kind of looks, you would think they would get past their first matchup, and then it'll be interesting to see if there's going to be Lakota East or Sycamore. Both teams have a shot to knock off the Bombers, but will be a good battle there. Other side of things as well, Turpin and Walnut Hills, I think, is probably what's going to be for the South 4 to see who moves on to a district championship. I'm actually thinking that's going to be a pretty good battle because those two teams were battling out for the ECC. And then Elder on a resurgence type of season. I think they get to the sectional championship. It'll be an interesting matchup to see who they get. Are they going to get the Comets? Are they going to get the Eagles? Maybe even the Tigers? Should be interesting. I do think that Milford's had a weird season because they've won a lot of non-conference games, but just kind of fell short a couple conference games. So if you look at them in the standings, they're kind of low in the standings, but overall they're still a really good team just for how good the ECC was and kind of beating up on each other. So it should be interesting how the Eagles, can they get past Loveland there, and then could they get past Mason? I'm not sure, but I think both Mason and Milford could give Elder a handful. We'll have to see how it all shakes out there, but that's how your Division I looks. All right, let's look at Division II now. Some good matchups here. Summit Country Day is the one seed here in South 1. It's where they're slotted. They'll get the winner of Norwood and Redding. Other side sees 4 Wyoming taking on 12 New Richmond, and then 3 McNick taking on 14 North College Hill. McNick definitely having a good run last year. I think they're going to try and do it again. But that Wyoming-McNick on Saturday, if that's the way the matchups go, should be really interesting for a date next Tuesday. Not this coming Tuesday, but following, potentially against Summit Country Day. South 2 sees number 2 seed Indian Hill, who has an impressive run, 13-1-1, and went undefeated in the CHL, which means that they've gotten the wins against Marymount, Wyoming, and Madeira. Those four in general have had made some damage in the state tournament. Marymount winning Division 3 state championship a couple years back, Wyoming winning the Division 2 state championship 2 years ago, so, and getting back to the state semifinals last year. So that's a good conference, and Indian Hill right now is looking to be that next team. Obviously, Indian Hill, I believe, have won state championships in the past, so they, you know, that's been a few years, but they obviously know what's going on with it there too. They get the winner of Taylor and Mount Healthy, more than likely probably Taylor, and then CHCA versus Roger Bacon, Bethel Tate versus Batavia. All that can get to Central 1 for a district championship. Central 1 looks like this. Number 2, Chaminade Julian, waiting the winner of 6 Clinton Massey and 8 Wilmington, and then Alter, the 5 seed, taking on the winner of 4 seeded Bellbrook, who is a great team as well, and they take on Ponitz. You would think Bellbrook probably gets that. So Bellbrook and Alter in a round 2 matchup could be interesting. Central 2 sees Oakwood, Lumberjacks, also great team. A lot of very loaded Division 2 Southwest Regional here. But they play Franklin, more likely get on to play 7 Eaton. Other side sees 3 Baden taking on 10 Valley View, and then winner of that gets 11 Madison. I'd be interested to see if it's an Oakwood-Baden matchup on October 24th. All right, didn't really do the North bracket just because it gets really far up in the up north, but more than likely Tippecanoe, I would probably be my pick to come out of that area up there. All right, let's take a look at Division 3, number 3 seed in South 1, and that's going to be Marymount. The Warriors will get Lachlan, and then should they win that, get 13 Finneytown. Other side sees Felicity Franklin versus 5 seed Cincinnati Country Day, and 12 Fayetteville Perry versus 7 Bishop Fenwick. South 2 sees Clark Montessori and Greenville taking on each other. Winner gets 7 Hills, who is the 2 seed. They also on the other side have 8 Cincinnati Christian versus 10 Deer Park and 6 Georgetown versus 11 Claremont Northeastern. And then South 3, the number 1 overall seed down here in Division 3 is Madeira Mustangs taking on 17 Purcell Marion. And then should they win that, we'll get 18 seed at Williamsburg. Other side sees 4 seed Waynesville having a good season, taking on 15 Middletown Christian, and then should probably get that win to go on to 20 Ripley. So I'm thinking probably on October 24th, we see 1 Madeira versus 4 Waynesville. And then just to run through the north, because it starts to get up towards Dayton and beyond. Number 1, seeded Troy Christian versus Stivers, and then Tri-County North versus Preble Shawnee, Milton Union versus West Liberty Salem, and Dixie versus Northwestern. That's North 1. North 2 sees number 2 seed Dayton Christian taking on Catholic Central, and then probably get the win there, go against 18 Newton. 7 Miami East, 13 Calvary Christian, 15 Miami Valley, and then number 6 Jackson Center for North 2. North 3 sees number 3 seed Legacy Christian versus 21 Northeastern. Winner more likely going to be Legacy Christian will take on Emmanuel Christian. And then 4 Yellow Springs, who had a good run last year, they're going to get 17 Fairlawn, and then 19 Lehman Catholic will take on number 5 Botkins. And that rounds up everything for your boys brackets here for the Southwest Regional. Well, I appreciate you listening to my thoughts on what I think would be some really good matchups and things like that here in the Southwest Regional brackets for OHSA State Soccer Tournament. As always, I'm going to try and cover some games throughout the tournament action, so make sure that you follow me on Twitter at Chief_Ohio. We'll get you caught up on all the video highlights and everything that goes along with that and the tournament.